And look, I don't just go around and my belt broke, so I gotta fix it. That's okay. But anyway, so what I was gonna say is I take preaching very serious. God has called me to be a preacher, and I take it serious. And when a man invites me to come into his church and preach the message, I want to be here. I want to be here to do the Lord's work. I want to be here for what he would have us to do. And so we came out last night. Our children did stay back at our church. They're taking out all the pews because our floors are being done. We're having our 200th anniversary this year in our church. And so they're taking out all the pews and everything and re-sanding and doing the whole floor. So they asked if my son can stay. And so we let them stay and being in their Sunday school class and such. And so what a wonderful thing it is to have a church around for 200 years preaching the word of God.
Amen, brother.
Look at this is like a city compared to where we live. I mean, that's where we live. That's what it's like out where Black Creek Baptist Church is. And when my pastor started there, and you understand, he started there and there was 12 people there. And now on Sunday morning, Sunday school, we have 50, 60, 80, 100 people there. During our special meetings and such, you know, we have 120 people filling the pews. Why? Because a man, he made a promise with the Lord to go out in the community and win those people. Amen. We're not about playing round robin with other churches. Sometimes that happens. Somebody leaves a church and comes to a church. But my pastor said this, if a man can't go into a community and win those people, then what's his worth? It's going in that community you're in and getting those people and bringing them in. Again, it's not like people who have come from other churches aren't welcome. It happens. But that, you know, you travel around today and that's what most churches are built off. This guy got mad, so he went over there. That lady got mad, so they went over there. And you know what? If a man can't go into a community and win those people, what's his worth? That's what Jesus Christ did. He went in the community and won those people. And so God has blessed us there at Black Creek, and it's been a wonderful time there. I think we've been going there, what, how long, 14 years, been saved 10 years. I sat lost 4 years in the church pew, holding on to religion. Well, I made religion look real good. You know, that word feign is pretending. I can pretend real well. You know, because as an ex-convict, as somebody who's out there living a lifestyle, you know, in prisons and jails and mental hospitals and rehabs and being a gang member, I knew how to put on different cloaks. I knew how to put on different outfits to fit in where I need to. And so I learned how to put on religion real well because, you know what? The reality of the matter of the reality is this, that I really wanted out of this lifestyle. After I got out of prison my last time in 2002, I really wanted a changed life. But how to get there was a different story. I had no clue. I met a lot of religious workers.
Right.
But they could never show me how to get to Jesus Christ. Mm. Yeah, I just want you to know that. And so I came out of prison with a profession. A profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is. I don't care how many professions you make. If without repentance unto salvation, there is no salvation. There is none. And so Jesus Christ stepped into my life 10 years ago. And shortly after that, he called me into a jail and prison ministry. Can you imagine that? Brother, I was not looking for a jail and prison ministry. I did not want to have anything to do with jail and prison. And I fought the Lord on it. But you know, he gave me a choice. It's either your way or my way, and I chose his way, and I thank God that he's given me the opportunity to now minister to those men and women, because we send missionaries to foreign countries and we support them, and they go out there and they win the nationals, and then we use those nationals to win the people to get them in church. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jesus Christ has done with me. He's taken me, somebody who's lived their whole entire life in institutions, and now has sent me back to my people. Sent me back to my people that are in jails and prisons and mental hospitals and rehabs. Those society has thrown away. Right. Those society has put in, locked them up and said, this is throw away the key. That same cross that Jesus Christ died on for you, died on for them. Okay? No matter what they've done. He didn't say go out there and preach to the ones who maybe have broken the law this way or no. Preach unto all.
Amen.
Okay? And so we go in there and we preach to them all, and we thank God for it. And So a little bit, I want to talk a little bit today about dying daily. We have to die daily to ourselves because we are a selfish people. Concerns about us, concerns about our welfare, concerns about our, everything is always revolved around us. Aren't you glad that's not how Jesus Christ thought? Mm-hmm. Aren't you glad he didn't just think about himself? Yes. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me, nevertheless. Have you woke up this morning and said, nevertheless, you know, I'd like to stay in that pillow a little bit longer. I'm not feeling so well. Or, you know, it's got kind of a long drive. Maybe I won't go out there. Or, you know, I have to spend money in a hotel to stay overnight. Nevertheless, not my will, Father, but your will be done. And so, if you would, turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. I got my new Bible marker here. My daughter made it for me. Isn't that awesome? Amen. Yeah, she makes me all kinds of things. My Bible's getting loaded with all kinds of stuff. You know, I'll turn to my Bible and a piece of paper will fall and just says, I love you, Daddy. Aww. What a wonderful thing that is when you're reading the Bible and your daughter's drawing something like that for you. And so I love it. And so anyway, that's where my children are. They stayed back there to help out with what's going on in our church. And we thank God for it. Luke chapter 9. Let me get there myself. We're going to start in verse 23, and here's what it says. And he said to them some. No. He said to them all. Okay? If. You see that word if? That means maybe it will, maybe it won't. If any man will come after me, let him. That word let is a pretty amazing word in that King James Bible. That means maybe that person will, and maybe that person will not. To let means God has given you the ability to do what he's about to ask you. But will you? Okay, remember that. God has given us the ability. God didn't give us these things in the Bible because they're impossible for us to live. He's given us the strength. Paul makes it clear in Galatians 2:20. Nevertheless, it's not I that live, but Christ in me. If Christ is all powerful, you know, I'll take a vote here. How many of you say Christ is all powerful? Everybody will raise their hand. Well, if he's living inside of you, that means he's giving you an ability to do what he's going to ask you. The problem is we're selfish. The problem is we have to sacrifice ourselves. Look at in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says to become a living sacrifice. He didn't tell you to die. It'd be easier to die for Christ than to live for him.
Yeah.
That's what he wants us to do, is to live for him. We're called according to his purpose. I lost my purpose when I got saved 10 years ago, brother.
Amen.
It's not about my purpose anymore. It's about the purpose of Jesus Christ. He's got something for each and every one of us. And today he says, let him, if he'll follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. God, help us to follow Jesus Christ. Do you know what it entails to pick up a cross? Let's get into that for a few minutes. You know why? Because Jesus Christ asks us, he says, if any man will follow me, let him deny himself. My friend, it starts with denying you. It starts with having a willing mind and a willing heart to deny yourself on the cross. Because let me just tell you this, Jesus Christ denied himself for you. If he didn't deny himself, he wouldn't have went to that cross. He could have called a legion of angels. For information's sake, just some stuff that I've read, I'm not sure if it's 100% true or what. I can't prove it one way or another. But they say for each angel has the strength of 1,000 men. One angel has the strength of 1,000 men. And if he can call legions, imagine the strength that he could have had. He could have wiped that out, no problems. But you know what stopped him? You. When he hung on that cross, he saw your face. When he hung there after they beat him, and after they mocked him and spit, hey, what if somebody came out and spit in your face, my friend? How about if they started mocking you? We get a little emotional, don't we? Said he opened out his mouth. Why? He saw your face, my friend. He saw your face. He saw your face. He said, I'm going to take it. Why? From them. Now he asked us to do things. You know what the problem is, Pastor? We have a tendency to forget what he really done for us. You know what I say? In our minds, and sometimes in our devotion during the week, we ought to think, we ought to reflect on what Jesus Christ really has done for us. Because we've become an unthankful people.
Right.
And I'm not talking about financial things. I'm not talking about physical things, because my wife can attest to you, I'm going through some hard physical things right now in my life. But it compares nothing to what Jesus Christ has done for me. You see, when we get wrapped up in the things that are around us or our problems or our trials, we have a tendency to forget about what Jesus Christ has done for us. And he says, let him take up that cross. And I want you to follow me. He didn't say anything about following ourselves. Not following our intuition. If it was about our intuition, we wouldn't need Jesus Christ. If it was about our intuition, he wouldn't have had to die on the cross. The cross was a very serious matter back in those days. And so, the cross, there's various methods of performing execution on the cross. Usually, the condemned man was whipped or scourged. We know he was beat with the cat of nine tails. Let's just start off there. Let's rewind for 1 minute. And let's go back to God. Jesus Christ standing there. And they got him half naked. And then what they're going to do is they're going to start mocking him, brother. They're going to put a robe on him. And they're going to mock him. If you're the king, king of kings, and making fun of him with everything they could. All the mockery in the world that they're doing with him. Then they take pieces of his beard and start ripping it off his face. And then inside of him, they're spitting in the creation. As you spit in the creator's face.
Right. Mm-hmm.
The very one who's about to die on that cross of Calvary, they're spitting in his face and they're mocking God. God, who spoke everything into existence. You have to understand, he didn't touch the things, he spoke it into existence. And he's standing there. And he's taking it. Then they take a crown of thorns. And they set it gently on his head. No, man. They kicked that crown of thorns on his head and it went inside of his skull. Do you know the very cursed thing, the ground, is what pierced Jesus Christ's brow? Those thorns were part of the curse. And now that part of that curse has been kicked on his head and it's been stuck into his head and he's dripping blood down his face. But all he can think about is you. All he can think, he can't get you off of his mind. And so he's going to stand there and he's not going to open his mouth because he can't, because of love's sake, because of how much he loves you. He's going to take it. And he's standing there. And after they're done, they bring him over and they scourge him. Cat of nine tails. They're trying to rip his innards out. Trying to take everything out of him. Then he's going to go die a cruel, violent death on a cross by suffocating. He's going to suffocate. And in that time, the blood vessels are going to constrict. While he's hanging up there, he's not going to be able to breathe. He's going to try to push up. And he's going to take breath. And now at this point, he's become cursed. Why? Because it's something he did? He'd become cursed for you. If he hangs up on a tree, it says they are cursed. Not just cursed. Accursed. That's a double negative. That's a double negative because he's done nothing. He's done nothing to deserve that. That thief on the cross, that was an easy to the thief. That thief realized what he was. You see, when God gets a hold of some convicts' hearts and he shows us what we are, he knows. You know what he knows we'll do? We'll go out there and serve him just as hard, if not harder, than we ever serve Satan. Devil hates me, brother.
Yeah.
He can't stand what I do. He can't stand because God has called, taking that foolish thing of the world to confound the wise, and he sent us out there to preach the gospel. And here he is trying to take that breath, and as he's doing it, his veins are constraining, they're constricting, and that's why it says in the book of Psalms and his heart melted like wax. It burst inside. Over the condemned's head was placed a notice stating his name. Death ultimately occurred through the combination of a constrained blood circulation and organ failure, asphyxiation or suffocation, as the body strained under its own weight. It could have ended quicker by shattering the legs with an iron club, which would have prevented them from supporting their body weight, and the inhalation more difficult, accelerating both asphyxiation and shock. But guess what they didn't do? They broke none of his bones. He didn't get the easy way out. But I want you to notice one thing that did happen with Jesus on that cross. They didn't take his life. He gave it. He says, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. They didn't take it from him. He just became that sacrifice. He became that one. And God, in his mercy, sent his soul into hell so we didn't have to. And he became that burnt sacrifice. You see, Leviticus chapter 1 verses, Leviticus chapter 1 through 5 tell you exactly what Jesus Christ went through. You must need, because Jesus Christ said this, I didn't come to destroy the laws and the prophets. You hear that? Laws and the prophets. We get real big into prophecy, but we forget about the laws that he had to fulfill. If Jesus Christ didn't fulfill every single law, we'd all still be lost. I just want you to know that. Learning those laws and learning what Jesus Christ done will show you exactly what your Savior has done. You must know that Old Testament. You must go back there and learn and look at those things, and you will see Jesus and what he's going to go through. Leviticus chapter 1 through Leviticus chapter 5 gives you every single thing Jesus Christ would have to fulfill in order to be that perfect Savior. When his soul is in hell, he's that perfect burnt offering. Had to be salted. It's all there. Every bit of it. I can guarantee you that. That's one of the college courses I'm going to put out there for those men. One of the other college courses that we're going to put out there that the Lord has given me is a tabernacle. I've built the whole tabernacle by hand. Draw it out, everything. Why? Because it's so important. Hey, when you met the girl or met the man that you thought you wanted to marry, you wanted to know every single thing about them, didn't you? Why wouldn't you want to know that about your Savior? God gave us an Old and New Testament. Are we bound by the laws? No, but you know what? The law is going to show you what you are in God's eyes. That's what Paul says. It's a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. It's important to know these things. When you want to get to know the one who died for you, don't you want to know everything that he had to go through for you? He's asking you to die daily. That includes studying. That includes getting in there and knowing who he really is. You know, Christ. Paul said this, if all we have is the name of Christ, we're all men miserable. He's just saying, if all you have is the name Christ, you're miserable. That's what the Catholics have, Christ's name. That's what the Pentecostals and everybody, all they have is a name. They don't have what's behind that name. They don't have the power behind the name of Jesus Christ. They don't have the resurrection and the blood behind the name Jesus Christ. All they have is a religious name, Jesus Christ. The devil can imitate that. It says that in Isaiah chapter 14. It says, I will be like the Most High God, not the opposite. Everybody puts horns and everything else on. It's not what he looks like. Read your Bible. That's why Paul gives a warning in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He says, if any man come and preach another Jesus. What do you mean another Jesus? That's the devil trying to be Jesus. Trying to get people to call on him with another spirit and another gospel. Those false Bibles, those false churches that you see out there.
That's right.
You know what road they're on? The wide road of destruction. If you're in this King James Bible and you're a saved, born-again person, you're on that narrow road. Everybody else is following the wide road to destruction, brother, and they're calling Satan Jesus. How about that? What a horrible thing. Thank God we got a Bible that tells us these things. Psalm 22 verses 14 through 18 is the prophecy of Jesus. And it says this, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint because of the weight of his body. He's hanging on the cross. At this time, this prophecy is written. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. It means it's going to explode. Why? Because it's hanging, all that pressure. You can't breathe. It constrains all the blood vessels in his body. It's a horrible, horrible, agonizing death. He says, my strength is dried up at the potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look upon and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. They're rolling dice for Jesus Christ's clothes. They're sitting there casting lots. And they're watching the man die. But you know what they don't realize? That he's dying for their sin. None of them realize what's going on there. And the man's hanging on the cross. Hey, I didn't realize it. God had to open my eyes to it. Because, boy, I sure look good with religion. I could have, there wasn't many people that I couldn't fool with my religion. The people I couldn't fool with, number one, was God. The second people I couldn't fool was my family. They knew I'd come to church one way and go home and be totally different. Abusing my wife, addicted to pornography, smoking and drinking and cussing and all this stuff. Look, I'm just telling you this now. Two things are going to happen to a Christian that gets yourself into that. Number one, God says, if you live by the flesh, you shall die by the flesh. He will take you out of the world. God's not going to let one of his children continue to live that way. Number two, he's going to bring you to repentance. What a wonderful God we have. Chastisement. Amen. I'm going to tell you this now. When God starts chastening me, brother, it turns me. Chastisement of the Lord is not some easy, easy thing that you just go through and it's a hunky-dory. Oh, no, man. God puts his finger on some things. You better listen. Think of the selflessness it took for Jesus to die on that cross. He wasn't dying for himself. He was dying for others. Luke 23:28 says this, but Jesus turning unto them and said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. He's just telling you right there, this isn't for me. It's not about me dying for me. I'm not going to a cross to die for something that I've done. I'm going to die on the cross for you. A choice that I've made is to die for you. I've had people all the time ask me this in jail. They say, hey, Brother Dale, you know, if God is so loving, then why does he put people in hell? I said, because that's their choice. God chose a cross. They choose hell. Okay, when a person's not choosing Jesus Christ, it's not God putting it. He didn't choose that, for God so loved the world. Does that sound like a loving God to you? No. He made a way for them to get out of that, but they reject it. They refuse it. So therefore, he's holy. He's righteous, and he's got to stand on his word. And he says if a person rejects him in unbelief or just outright rejects him, their penalty is eternity in hell. He's a holy and right God. He's going to stay. He's going to keep his word. He died because he was selfless. The most painful part of the cross, everybody thinks, was the beatings before. It was the cat of nine tails, and it was being spit on and then being nailed to the cross. That was not the worst part of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. The worst part was when he was on that cross and God the Father turned his face from him. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Throughout all eternity, Jesus Christ and God the Father had a relationship until he got on that cross. And then when he became us and he took all of our sin upon himself, God the Father could not look upon him. And that was the most painful part of the cross for Jesus Christ. And he done it for you. Amen. He hung there. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because of Dale Morey's sin. Because I love him and this must take place. And for the first time in eternity, God the Father and Jesus Christ would be separated. For us.
I know this, there'd be a time when somebody would get behind the pulpit and preach John 3:16 or preach a message like this, and the pulpits would be filled with people. Even born again, saved people, because you know why? They go back and realize what Jesus Christ has really done for them. We have troubles, we have trials, we have tribulations, but my goodness, do we really think and consider what Jesus Christ has done for us? And he's asking us to take up a cross and live for him. That means to deny ourselves. It gets uncomfortable, doesn't it, Amy?
Well, you don't have the surety of money's coming in. You can't pay bills, or cars are breaking down, or health isn't going right. It gets uncomfortable being in the ministry. But God said, don't worry about it. It's not always money flying in and everything's taken care of. It's not that way, brother. But God will not forsake those he's called. You know what? There's things that me and my family have to suffer and go through so that we can help other people. People hate to hear that. Part of the ministry is not all about me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that verses 3 through 5 says, God is the God of all mercies and comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation so that we can comfort them, so that we can comfort them that are in any trouble. You see, there's things that we go through in our life. Why? To help somebody else. How can you understand somebody if you've never been through what they've been through?
Amen. For sure.
Paul calls this, he said, I've been called and separated unto the gospel. Many claim to have a calling. Great, but let me see your separation. And I'm not talking about separation as far as staying away from things. I'm talking about God. When he puts a calling on a man's life, he starts separating him. He starts putting him through things. He starts getting him ready for where he can use him. Hey, when you go in the military, they don't leave you the same person you were. I just want you to know that. Anybody been in the military here? Yeah, you know that. They're going to tear you down and build you up the way they want you. Why wouldn't God do that for his children? You know what I'm happy and thankful for? That God didn't leave me the same person I've always been.
Right.
Yeah.
What, isn't that?
Amen.
What?
Yeah.
Newsflash, Jesus changes lives. That's what he does. Jesus comes in and he changes a person's life. He doesn't leave them the same they've always been. But you know, there's a price to pay for that. He's not asking us to give it back to him. He's asking us to give it because of what he's done for us. Can we not recognize Jesus Christ for what he's done for us? One more thing, and I think we'll... Philippians 2, 5 through 8 says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made into the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How about it, my friend? Are you ready to be obedient to Jesus Christ for what he's done for you? Are you, listen, are you ready to put down yourself and take up Jesus Christ's cross daily? You know, it's a daily sacrifice. I have some spiritual sacrifices that I pray every single day that God would help me with. Okay, some spiritual things, my prayer life. And one of the things is I go through the Ephesians chapter 6 and put on the armor every day. I put on the helmet of salvation. Then after I'm done putting on the armor, I ask God, what piece do I need to use today? Where is it? I remember coming to the jail when the jail was still open here in Monroe County. I'm driving. I prayed. I'm like, all right, Lord. I said, there's a corporal in the jail. He hates my guts because I come in and preach the gospel. Okay, I want to tell you this right now. The devil hates anybody who will stay with that King James Bible and preach it.
Yeah.
Just telling you that right now. It's a battle. It's a spiritual warfare. So I'm going there, and the corporal, man, he can't stand me, right? You know, back in the days, brother, I just gave him a little whack, and we'd have been done with me, and they would have fought. I said, all right, God. I said, that corporal, I said, I'm not sure I can handle much more of his mouth. I said, would you go ahead and remove him from the floor? Move him out of my way so he's not my trouble anymore. Imagine if Jesus Christ said that, Father, would you stop these men from beating me? Would you go ahead?
Mm-hmm.
How about Paul? His own brethren. Yeah. And the Lord put in my heart this, Dale, why don't you start praying for his salvation? I said, man, you're right, Lord. Pray and teach me how to win that man to Jesus Christ. Amen. I can win that man to Jesus Christ. Not only are them inmates going to see it, but boy, it'll be a sure help to me. And so I started praying. God, how does this cruel man, this man cusses me out. He calls me every kind of name in the book. He's brutal. I started praying for that man. God, save him. He doesn't know what he's doing, Lord. Just save him. He's only doing what he knows. I started praying that over and over again. So I'm driving. And I started praying to the Lord. What piece of the armor? Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm like, all right, Lord. You give me the person that I should do that to today.
The corporal.
What? I laugh. What do you mean the corporal? The corporal's not going to listen to me.
The corporal. All
right, Lord. Against everything that I believe possible, I'm going to go into that jail and I'm going to go talk to this man who cusses me out and gives me no time of the day. And I walk in there. And for the first time ever, the man gives me about 5 minutes to speak. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't say anything cruel to me. You tell me that's not a good God? You tell me he doesn't show himself up and stuff like, but you know what it took for me? To put myself down. I had to take up his cross. I had to take up what he went through. My friend, if Jesus Christ suffered it, we will for sure. The days are coming where we're going to have to put down self and take up that cross. And it's a hard. You think the cross was an easy thing to do? He doesn't ask us to get on that cross and die for people. He asks us to die for self so that we can help win people. To get out there and put down ourself for once in our whole entire life. And we stop being so selfish. Christians have become very selfish. Let me just say this. Christians have become the laughingstock. Not everybody, okay? Not everybody. But a lot of Christians have become the laughingstock during COVID. People used to run to Christians for safety and prayer. They're running from us, making fun of us. Why? Because we're faltering and failing in this thing. They don't see us having any more strength than them, Pastor. They don't see anything different in us that they should come pray. Oh, hey, listen, my family, it's full of they don't come to us like that. They're making fun of us. Go watch Facebook. Go read that stuff that's on there about Christians today. Wonder why we have lesbians and everybody else running all rampant. Why? Because the Christians have taken the back seat. They've shut their mouth. They've stopped standing on this word. They've stopped standing on the things of God. They've picked up their self and forgot about the cross of Jesus Christ and what he suffered for us. If it wasn't for him suffering for us, we'd be suffering for eternity. Can't we give up a few years of our life? He asked us to die daily. Let me read that one more time. And he said to them all, if, because not everybody's going to follow Jesus Christ. But if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. That's the very first thing. That's the very first step that we must do is deny ourselves and take up his cross daily. The day you forget to start taking Jesus Christ's cross is the day you're living for yourself. My friends, I'm asking you and I'm challenging you today. Let's put down the cross of self and let's pick up the cross of Jesus Christ and go out there in these last days, my friend. If you are a born again person, we are in Bible days. We are in the last days. There are souls hanging on the cliff of hell on how you live your life. Do you understand that? When's the last time you said, God, make somebody's soul serious to me? You know why Jesus Christ died on that cross? For the souls of men.
Right. Amen.
You know why he saved you? To get back out there and preach to those souls. How bad is it going to be, brother? Yeah. We're going to stand before a holy God. He's going to say, remember that one that walked by you and I told you to go talk to? Remember I told you to get that certain thing out of your life and you wouldn't so that that person might come to get saved? Remember that? God will bring those things up to us. Are we ready to die to self and pick up that cross of Jesus Christ? It's a wonderful life. Hard. But Jesus Christ said it will be hard. You know what he tells us to do? And I'm going to close with this. He tells us this. He says, strap up your boots. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier. Prepare for battle. The soldiers are over there fighting. They're dying. They're giving up everything so America can stay free. How about you? Would you put on the boots of Jesus Christ? Would you take up that cross so that somebody else's soul can be made free? Not set free. Your Bible says made free. I was set free my whole entire life from jails and prisons and mental hospitals and rehab programs. They always set me free. But the Bible, your King James Bible says, I will make you free. That means he's going to make me something that I've never been. He's going to give me something that I've never had. And that's a freedom in Jesus Christ. He made me free.
To be set free means I can move anything anywhere. Why? Because it already existed. But to be made free means it did not exist until that very moment it was made. When I got saved 10 years ago, Jesus Christ made me free. He made me into a new creature. Oh, did he change your body? No, he's now living inside of me. That's what makes me the new creature. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He takes up residence in us after going to a cruel cross, and all he asks us is to sacrifice ourselves in daily living. My friends, pray that God help us in America, help the Baptists, help the Christians stand back up, get back on the Word, and get out there on that front line. Pastor, I'm done.